Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, the 19th of January, 2012, and I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on The Voice, KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners listening to us on KJAA AM 1240 in Globe, and down in Cochise County, it's KAPR AM 930 out of Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. Also, three venues for you to hear the program anytime, anywhere. There's buckmastershow.com, our website. Then there's TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service, and, of course, TucsonCitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We'll get things going with a conversation with Mike Helen. Mr. Helen is running for Pima County Supervisor as a Republican in District 1. About 20 minutes past the hour, we'll talk about the Parks in Focus program, giving low-income youngsters in our area a chance to experience the great outdoors. 30 minutes past the hour, Tucson City Councilman Richard Fimbres will be joining us, giving an update on that effort to keep the Tucson City swimming pools open this summer. We'll also hear about efforts to keep Tucson's Postal Processing Center open. Then we'll close out the show with our Consumer Affairs contributor, Tom Collier. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can also email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Now we welcome Mike Helen to the Buckmaster Show. Mr. Helen, a Pima County businessman and Republican leader. He is a decorated Vietnam veteran who has successfully operated his own small business for 34 years. A lifelong Republican, Mike Helen was the Arizona campaign manager for Ronald Reagan in 1980. He was elected to the Republican National Committee in 1992, served as chair of the Arizona Republican Party from 1997 to 1999. He still had his hand in politics as of the presidential campaign in 2010, where he was the deputy campaign manager in Arizona for Senator John McCain. Mike Helen, good to see you.
Bill, it's good to be here. Thank you.
Tell me, why did you decide you're going to get into this race for Pima County Supervisor District 1? And District 1, of course, covers the Catalina foothills, Oro Valley, Marana, all the way up to Catalina.
All the way to Pinal County, that's correct. I was persuaded by some business people who are very concerned about the direction of the Board of Supervisors that the race as it shaped up a few weeks ago simply didn't provide the kind of leadership out of District 1 that was going to be necessary to help find a new direction for the Pima County Board of Supervisors. And I looked at it closely, and I decided two things, that I can win the race and that I can be effective as a supervisor.
Yeah, it looks like it's a four-way race at this point on the Republican side. State Representative Vic Williams looks like he's in. There's Allie Miller and Stuart McDaniel. What would be the big issue, and what would separate you from the pack?
The two Tea Party people, I believe, do not match the district's demographics or politics. I don't think they can win even a primary. They certainly cannot win a general election. The problem with Vic Williams, at least one of the problems, is that Nancy Young Wright defeated him in the Pima County portion of his legislative district. He only won because of the heavy Republican vote out of Saddlebrook, which is Pinal County. And there seems to be a consensus that if he's the nominee, we lose the seat.
And Nancy Young Wright, Democrat, looks like she is going to be running on the Democratic side for Pima County Supervisor in District 1.
That's our expectation.
So it would be Nancy Young Wright against the winner of the four-way primary. Let's talk about some issues real quickly here, Mike. Of course, one of the big hot issues, the Rosemont Mine, the Pima County Board of Supervisors on record against the mine. Are you in favor of the Rosemont Mine?
I am in favor of the Rosemont Mine, and I believe that, very frankly, the Pima County Board of Supervisors is wasting a lot of time and resources in trying to obstruct a process in which they are only marginally involved. This is a decision that the United States Forest Service has to make. If Rosemont meets the requirements of the economic or environmental impact statement, they will get a permit to operate the mine. That's a decision the feds have to make. I'm persuaded they have and will meet the environmental impact statement. And for Pima County to be an obstructionist in an economic development project that's going to bring thousands of jobs and millions of taxes to Pima County, I think is a mistake.
General economic development improvement needs to be made on the board?
Absolutely. Now, very frankly, there are only some limited things that the board can do overtly for economic development. But first and foremost, we have to send out the message, and we have to act like Pima County is welcome to economic development, to business people who want to invest here, and to emerging technologies that want to be born and develop in Pima County. The attitude of the current Board of Supervisors is very hostile, and I think that has to change, and that's going to be one of my primary focuses.
Well, there's been so much, there is a lot of blame that is turned toward the legislature.
For good reason.
Yeah. For when it comes to roads, especially.
Well, yeah the legislature basically absconded with Pima County's highway fee monies. And the board, in my opinion, basically used that as an excuse simply not to maintain the roads the way they should have. The money is in the general budget. We can do road maintenance. We can fill in the potholes. There's a lot we can do. It's a matter of priorities. The board simply is not setting priorities in a proper fashion, and that's one of the things I hope to try to change.
Coming up on 12:12, this is the Buckmaster Show. Mike Helen is a Republican candidate for District 1, Pima County Supervisor. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Jerry, do you have a question for Mike Helen?
Oh, there are a couple of them, gentlemen. The first one is, I understand it, that Don Diamond is the gentleman behind you, but I just thought it was kind of interesting because, you know, Ann Day's in her 70s, and I know that you are either 69 or in your 70s, and I, as a senior myself, just thought it was interesting that you would be running now.
Okay, this looks like a two-part question there,
well,
Mike.
Is there a question?
the age question, how you doing, you physically fit?
Look, if anybody is worried about my age, I will go out and play three sets of singles tennis with them, and we'll find out who's old and who's not old.
Okay, sounds like you're ready to go. How about Don Diamond on board your campaign?
Don Diamond is on board my campaign, but I wouldn't characterize him as the guy behind me. There are lots of people who are helping me. My very good friend Bill Ossemacher, who runs a manufacturing company here in town, former supervisor Mike Boyd, my ex-wife, Toni Helen. There are a lot of people who are supporting me in this.
You know, we talked a little bit about Rosemont, general economic development. How about tax rates? Pima County tax rates are higher than Maricopa County, our friends up in Phoenix. And whenever this comes up, most of the folks associated with Pima County say there's good reason for that.
Well, the people in Maricopa County say the reason for it is because Pima County spends too much money. I think it's more complicated than that. One of the things we've been doing for at least 20 years is bonding ourselves to acquire a vacant land, to basically take it off of the tax roll, and we call it open space, and it helps improve the lifestyle in southern Arizona, I wouldn't turn them back the clock and say that was a bad decision. The problem going forward is that we have incurred more debt in Pima County than every other county in the state combined. And the only way we're going to be able to get tax rates under control and get our debt under control is to expand the county's economy so that we can service that debt going forward. If we don't do that, we're going to end up like Greece. And that's one of my major concerns.
Well, when people hear about wanting lower taxes, they worry about reduced services to the county. County residents worry they're going to have less service.
Well, those aren't mutually exclusive. There are, look, there are a lot of efficiencies that can be brought to bear in the way Pima County operates. I think it's a matter of priorities. You know, we can't do everything, but we have to do what we do and do it well.
Well, speaking as a county resident and a Foothills resident, I know our roads, going back, we touched on this a little earlier, but our roads are in terrible condition on our street and many of the streets. Is there money that could be taken from the general fund to fix up some of these roads?
Yes, there is.
Because we keep hearing that there is no money because the state legislature has cut back.
Well, the state legislature has cut back, and there's less money that available than there would be had they not done that. But that's a cop-out, in my opinion. It's a matter of setting priorities, and I think roads should be a higher priority, and I think we should be spending general fund money on those roads until we get our HERF money back from the legislature.
What would you do to encourage, you talked a little bit earlier about encouraging the economic climate. What would you do to encourage more companies to come and locate perhaps in Oro Valley or anywhere in Pima County?
I'd work on some of the permitting requirements that are necessary for a new business to start up. I think there's some issues with some of the wastewater management. I think there's some issues with respect to permitting. I know we front load the costs for a lot of impact fees. I think maybe it would be advantageous for some business people to amortize that over a longer period of time, over a larger revenue stream. I think there are a lot of subtle things we can do that will create the impression to business people looking for a place to expand that we welcome them in Pima County and we want to help them succeed.
You know, it just seems as I look at your opponents and I look at the field of the four candidates, I think one of the issues is going to be, Mike Helen, who's the most conservative out of the group. I mean, I can see that being one of the issues.
Well, yeah, in a Republican primary, that's always going to be an issue, but political ideology applies more to Congress or the state legislature. When you're on Pima County Board of Supervisors, there are services that have to be provided to the people of Pima County at a cost they can afford. I don't think there is anybody in the race more fiscally conservative than I am. If you're talking about social issues, that may be another matter.
But when it comes to money issues
and it comes to running the county in a cost-effective fashion, maintaining the lifestyle that we have, which is why we live here, I don't think there's a more conservative person in the race than I am.
All right. You've been listening to Mike Helen. He's a candidate for District 1 as a Republican with the retirement of incumbent Supervisor Ann Day. That field is open. That seat is open. And we'll hear from all the candidates here on the Buckmaster Show. And Mike Helen, thanks a lot for being with us here on the show.
Well, Bill, thanks for having me. It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you. Mike Helen on the Buckmaster Show. 1218, stay with us. Parks in Focus. Let's get more of the at-risk, low-income kids out to our park areas.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa! Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Coming up on 1223, this is the Buckmaster Show, an outreach effort called the Stuart L. Udall Parks in Focus Tucson Community Initiative is helping encourage a healthy lifestyle for low-income young people in the Tucson area. Parks in Focus is a program of the Tucson-based Udall Foundation. With us in studio, Ellen Wheeler is with us. She's the executive director of the Udall Foundation, and Melissa Millage, senior program manager for Parks in Focus. Melissa and Ellen, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be here again.
Thank you. Ellen, let's begin with you. What's the origin of the program, and how has this program grown, Parks in Focus?
Well, we've been running the program since 1999, but it was very, very small for most of those years, where we partner in Tucson with the Boys and Girls Clubs on this, and so we take disadvantaged youth, middle school age kids, out to national parks and other and on other outdoor activities, and we use photography as sort of a hook to get them focused on nature and animals and the outdoors. And so, as I said, we've done it in a very small way since 1999, but in the last year, we've launched this Tucson Community Initiative that you mentioned, and we're working now year-round in Tucson with all six Boys and Girls Clubs, and we worked with 120 kids in Tucson last year. So we're very excited about this new effort where we're putting in hundreds of hours of programming and really, really transforming kids' lives.
Melissa, tell us about the kids that are taking part in this effort.
Well, as Ellen mentioned, they are middle schoolers, and in Tucson, they are all members from the Boys and Girls Clubs. So they are they're underserved youth, and they're kids who typically haven't had opportunities to get outside in the past. They actually usually the starting point for them is that we take them to Saguaro National Park or even just outside of their Boys and Girls Club, and
it's a new experience.
It's a brand new experience for them, and they're completely captivated by what they're seeing. We're giving them cameras,
you supply the cameras for the kids.
We supply the cameras for the kids, and the community initiative is actually it's more of a tiered program that introduces them step by step to the environment, so that by the time we are into the summer and leading those week-long trips that Ellen mentioned, which is the program we used to run, the kids have already been introduced to a lot of natural areas in Tucson. So they are getting much more comfortable and much more familiar with nature and with the outdoors, and learning quite a bit about what's going on around them in the Sonoran Desert and then in the state of Arizona.
The Tucson Community Initiative statistics are very impressive. 120 youth served, 15 adult leaders trained and engaged, 14,000, Ellen, photographs captured by the participants?
Right, and they do amazing photographs. I mean, these are kids who've never probably used a camera before, and you wouldn't believe the artistic nature of these photos as well as the self-expression. They take great photos of each other and very, artsy kinds of photographs. And we have, if people would go to our website, udall.gov, we have links there to tons of these photos that are posted online.
I love these trips, Melissa, that you've got planned, all sorts of different parks in the area.
Yes.
You give us a quick run. You mentioned Saguaro National Park, but there's trips up to the Grand Canyon. And
yeah, absolutely. So in Tucson, we're starting with places like, just outside their Boys and Girls Club houses, Agua Caliente, Sonoran, the other places in the Sonoran Desert. We take them to the Desert Museum, to Biosphere 2. We had a little trip to University of Arizona. They did a camp out at the Ameren Foundation, so they got to see Texas Canyon a little bit. And then when we go up north for the longer trips, the ultimate culminating experience is at Grand Canyon, but they also are exploring a lot of the national parks and public lands in northern Arizona, like Wupakee National Monument and Red Rock State Park. Slide Rock State Park, obviously very popular.
It's a good fit for the UDAL Foundation, Ellen, because after all, the UDALs are associated with the environment in many cases.
Right. And one of the purposes of the foundation when Congress chartered us was to introduce the public to the natural wonders of this country and increase appreciation for the outdoor environment. So we think that this program, hits that nail right on the head. And, I also wanted to just mention the impact on the kids. We've started doing evaluation, and at the end of, periodically we'll get feedback from them. And they report to us that they're much more physically active, they have a much better understanding of healthy lifestyles and healthy eating, they have an understanding of public service and stewardship of the environment. So we really feel we are having a transformative effect.
And the children are selected in what manner, Melissa?
They're actually selected. We count on the Boys and Girls Club staff to help us with that, since they're a lot more familiar with the kids. So
they vet the kids.
They vet the kids, and we let them know what the program is, and we sort of get the kids hooked. But now the word is spread at the Boys and Girls Club, so there's quite a lot of kids who are interested in getting involved.
Are you looking for volunteers, adult volunteers?
Absolutely. We are actually just putting together a more formalized volunteer program, but as we have increased the number of outings that we have throughout the year, we are certainly looking for volunteers to help us.
Ellen, a final word, more information at udall.gov?
Right, pif.udall.gov. And I would also mention that we provide this program free of charge to the kids, and the Boys and Girls Clubs do not support the program. We are actively trying to do fundraising as well as volunteer and friend raising in the coming year.
Very good, and congratulations. Sounds like it's going very well, and look for bigger and better things. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Bill.
Ellen and Melissa, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Coming up now on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, speaking of kids, keeping the summer swimming pool open in Tucson. Richard Fimbray's councilman is next on the Buckmaster Show to talk about that. Some good news on that front. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
Newt Gingrich tells South Carolina voters that he knew he would get smeared as a presidential contender, but this time the hits he's taking are from his second wife, who's revealing details of the Republicans' marital issues. Gingrich has picked up an endorsement from one of his rivals for the presidential nomination. Texas Governor Rick Perry dropped out of the race today and threw his support to Gingrich. President Obama is visiting Walt Disney World today, where he's pledging to make America the top travel destination in the world. Nome, Alaska is all fueled up again. A Russian tanker has been successfully transferred about 1.3 million gallons of fuel to the iced-in city. On Wall Street, the Dow up 26 points, the NASDAQ is ahead 20, and the S&P trading 6 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia, and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives. Expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
12:34. I am Bill Buckmaster, and this is The Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, 790-2040, 790-2040. You can join our conversation at any time. The Tucson City Council yesterday unanimously adopting a plan to allow corporations, nonprofits, church, and taxpayers to donate money to open more city pools for the summer. The city already plans to open 10 pools this summer and recently received enough money to open 4 more. But there are 27 community pools, so a number of pools still, there needs to be the funding to keep those pools open. And Doug Martin, who is the president of Good News Radio Broadcasting, which owns this station, KVOI, spearheaded with some other business people an effort to try to keep those pools open by getting business and community organizations involved. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, Tucson City Councilman Richard Fimbres. Councilman, how are you today?
How are you doing, Bill?
I'm doing well. I think this is good news for the community about these pools.
I think it's excellent news, and it shows the community coming together and working on a project that's going to benefit our community and especially our young folks. And yesterday we unanimously 5-0 voted on this issue, and I know that Regina Romero, who's out sick, also supports this initiative, along with our mayor, who's in Washington, D.C., supports it to get young people back into swimming and adopt a swimmer is one of the things we want to do. And I thank Doug Martin and Rick Sturtz and for taking a leadership role in this area.
And a couple of two-time Olympic gold medal winners also weighed in yesterday at the council and pointed out how important it was to them growing up having a swimming pool available to the kids.
Exactly. Chrissy Perham, Olympic gold medal medalist, also came up and spoke and talked about how this is a very healthy and getting our young people physically fit. Nowadays, when you read all the reports about obesity on the rampage and diabetes, getting young people back into the swimming or doing other physical activities is very important for our community.
So it looks like all 27 pools will probably be open in this summer?
Well, I'm not sure. We kicked this campaign off effective yesterday with our support, and we've already raised some money. We've got 4 additional pools open that normally wouldn't have been opened this year, and we've offered a means for other folks to contribute. I know the Catalina Rotary Club has donated for the Jacobs Pool. My ward, we took the monies that we received from the ATT cell tower and put that proceeds towards the pools. And then Karen Ulick, our vice mayor, created a deal with the Pascua-Yaqui and the recreational facility for operations and maintenance, and we took that money, those savings, and put it toward the pools. So we're trying to be creative in how we can keep our kids active.
Richard Fimbres is with us, Tucson City Councilman, and you have taken the lead and were really the first to speak out about closing, you know, speaking out against the U.S. Postal Service closing that processing center. And any news about what's going on with that?
Well, Bill, January 12th was the cutoff. But what's really good is that the citizens of Tucson, and not only Tucson, but of our southern Arizona, stood up. More than 600 people expressed their opposition to this proposed closure at the post office meeting on December 28th. An additional 1,000 people who have taken the time to write letters opposing the closure of the Cherry Bell post office proceeding and distribution center and getting them in for consideration by their deadline, which was January 12th. This is one of the biggest shows of opposition to the post office proposal in the country. The district office compiles all the comments that they have received in writing and in the public meetings and sends that over to their headquarters and their postmaster. The decision is to be made by the postmaster and the Board of Governors by May of this year. And what's really concerning is the potential impact this will have on us. Cost to mail packages, letters, or otherwise will rise. Social Security checks and other similar financial measures will be delayed. Prescriptions would be delayed. We just went to an all vote by mail process, and that's going to be severely affected. Government costs to mail their various items will also increase, and this will really impact our small businesses. So those are some of the things that we're concerned about. The overnight, two-day, or quicker delivery for first-class postage would also cease for Tucson and southern Arizona. and more than 23,000 of our local businesses in Tucson and Southern Arizona who mail use who use our mail order and have used Cherry Bell would have to pay more for shipping and postage. This really impacts our Tucson economy. We're the 33rd largest city in the nation, and we're not going to have our own distribution center. And this is the 15th largest processing center in the country, and it's going to be closed. So we're hoping that those folks will reevaluate their thoughts on this project. I think that in the audience, we heard many people talking about they're willing to pay a little bit more for stamps, postage, and they're also even looking at maybe even going to a five-day mailing as opposed to 6 days a week now.
So if folks are opposed to this, even though the period for mailing in your comments is closed, it probably would help to call your local congressional representative.
Yes, yes. I would suggest that they still send mailing to the postmaster and also to our elected officials, our national elected officials. The Pima County Board of Supervisors has written a resolution opposing the closure. The Cochise County Recorder, along with F.N. Rodriguez, our county recorder, have filed a complaint with the Department of Justice about the proposed closure, and we're expected that the Santa Cruz County Recorder will also do the same.
Fletcher McCusker was on our show yesterday, Councilman. He was talking about downtown. Of course, he's been a huge advocate of downtown Tucson, and he said he would like to see the city and the Rio Nuevo board finally come together on several areas differences. He's worried that if not, the state lawmakers are going to lose patience and step in. What do you say?
Well, I know that we're in mediation right now, and I know that everybody on the council wants to see movement. The legislature has charged us right now with the Tucson Convention Center or a hotel downtown. We're not doing the hotel right now. It's too costly to our taxpayers, so we need to focus on the Tucson Convention Center. That way we can keep the Gem Show and a lot of these major conventions that come here now. So we need to work together, and I know that we're in mediation right now and we're working together. That Downtown Tucson Initiative is good, but I'm leery that what they can put into this bill. So we have our folks. Last night we made a motion to ensure that we watch that very closely and what they're doing at the state legislature. But getting folks together, and I've encouraged the business community for several times to talk to the Rio Nuevo board, talk to mayor and council members, to get them to look at first focusing on the TCC. We can do the very basic stuff that we need to do. It costs us about $3.5 million to get the basic necessities done with the TCC and keep it moving. That'll satisfy the legislature and their charge to us, and I think that'll get us working together. I think that the city council and the Rio Nuevo board need to crawl together before we can walk together. And the simplest thing is let's focus on the TCC together and resolve this issue.
Are you happy the two elephants are going to be staying together at the zoo? We'll be going over to San Diego and not separated?
Yes, I think that's a win-win. I know that most of the folks that were protesting wanted them to keep them together and not separate it because of the 30-year relationship that Connie and Shabba have had together. I think this is a more humanitarian move. I know that the decision took a long time because you're working with so many different groups. You're talking about the experts out of San Diego, Zoo Global, the Reed Park Zoo staff, the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, and the African Elephant Taxon Advisory Group. To come up with a decision that could, I hope that will meet everybody's. I think that the Elephant Odyssey in San Diego has more amenities for Connie, who's an aging elephant and can deal with her age.
Well, hopefully they will have a good outcome to this for Connie and Shabba going over to San Diego. I know a lot of people still unhappy, but I think this is one of those cases where it would be difficult to please everyone on this issue, wouldn't you agree?
I agree with you 100%, Bill. This is a very emotionally impact issue. Everybody loves Connie and Shabba. You know, they provided a good educational tool for our community and our students to understand about elephants. And it's a very emotional issue. And I'm glad that I think that we've been able to meet everybody halfway with this decision.
Gonna have
I know
to
that the mayor and the city manager jumped in there to reevaluate what needed to be done. And I think Fred Gray went out there and again also looked at every stone before we, you know, and I think this is a winnable solution.
Richard Finbris, thank you very much for being on the program. Good talking with you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Have a good day.
You too. Richard Finbris, Ward 5, Tucson City Councilman, Democrat, talking with us on the Buckmaster Show. What about those holiday bills that are now coming in? Boy, you had a great holiday season, but now the reality sinks in. The bills are starting to come in. Tom Collier, our consumer contributor, will talk about what you can do to maybe lessen the impact of dealing with those bills. 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Piero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Piero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Piero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at PieroAmorePizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
On the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster, and with me in studio, Tom Collier. Once a month, Tom comes on the program, and we talk about consumer issues. Tom, I suppose at the top of the list every January for just about most consumers, if they have any kind of plastic in their wallet, are those bills. The holiday bills are coming.
They are. They remind
and are here.
They are the reminders of what a wonderful, wonderful holiday season you had.
Oh,
and
yes.
Now it's suddenly time to face the music.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, I have a plan, and it's called a spending plan. And
Tell me about it.
Well, this is what you need to do. If you don't pay your credit card bills off or the purchase bills for those types of gifts off in a single payment, what you can do is amortize. You can pay it off over time. And rather than doing that as a catch-as-catch-can, well, you know, I got all the bills paid. If I have a little money left, I'll put it on the credit card. What I'm suggesting is that you do a spending plan. I don't like the word budget, so I'm not suggesting that people budget, because when you say budget, people's eyes glaze over. So what I'm going to suggest is a spending plan. And the way you put that spending plan together is you search on the web for one of these bill amortization calculators. You can call it credit card calculator or loan calculator, and it has several blanks, and it allows you to put in the length of time that you want to pay it down to a zero balance, what the interest rate is, and how much you'll wind up paying, and what you need to pay on a regular routine basis. So you can find one of these calculators, say, I want to pay it down over until Memorial Day. What's that, 5 months from now?
Six months.
So you put in 6 months, how much the interest rate is, what the total balance is that you spent. And it doesn't have to be for the whole credit card amount. It can just be for what you spent on Christmas presents or holiday presents, you know. And then when you press the calculate button, it will tell you what your payment has to be in order to meet that schedule. Voila. If you have the discipline to meet that, then you'll pay them down. You won't have any difficulty if you meet that schedule. So my suggestion is put together a spending plan and stick to it, and you get to decide how much time you want to take to pay that off. If you want to take a whole year, you're going to pay more in interest, that's for sure. But at the same time, it gives you quantifiable steps that you can take to pay those bills down.
Yeah, because I think most of us, if you've, as you say, you've got a little money, well, maybe I'll put a little toward the Christmas bills.
Well, of course, you know, if you make the minimum payment on most credit card bills, right. And that has gone up, by the way. It used to be 2%.
Right.
Now it's gone up to anywhere from 10% to 15% of what your total balance is. But they're still required under the changes which were made a couple of years ago to tell you how much time it will take to pay off that balance if you make the minimum payment. And we're talking ridiculous amounts of time, 12 years, 13 years, 15 years, sometimes, depending on the interest rate, 30 years.
A lifetime.
I am amazed at the number of people who don't understand that when you make a $100 payment on your credit card, that $100 is sliced up, and a significant portion of it goes to interest, and then only a portion of that, what's left, goes to actually reducing the balance. So they recalculate the interest again, and you make your $100 payment, and a slightly smaller version amount goes to interest. But, you know, the banks are doing what everybody else does. We tell everybody else to do, pay yourself first. So when they calculate those things out, they're paying themselves first.
Many folks who have done business with Zappos, the online shoe and they all leather goods and all sorts of other clothing items, I guess they received within the past week a message from Zappos that was, very concerning.
I'm still trying to assimilate the fact that several million people buy shoes online.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, there was a security breach and about 2.5 million credit card passwords and credit card information was taken from this online website that sells shoes. If you got one of those, it's one of those times where you need to actually begin to sit down and look at the number of passwords that you have and how you maintain that level of security. A lot of the retail industry is the weakest in terms of protecting credit card information and security, and they have the most vulnerable computer storage mechanisms for that type of consumer information. Banks, financial institutions, not so much anymore. But there are still people out there, hackers, who are devoting lots of time and energy and attention to trying to figure out how to get that information. Retail and retail sites generally are the weakest. There is I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but there's a process called an SQL injection, which is what the hackers work on. And it's really interesting, Bill. People think that if I have an 8 or 10 character password, I'll be able to thwart any type of attempt to crack my password.
Mm-hmm.
right now, for about $3,000, you can buy the equivalent power of a supercomputer that cost several millions of dollars back in the 1990s.
Wow.
That's how much the cost of this technology, and not just the hardware, but the software, too, has dropped in price and making it more and more available to people of nefarious intent. So the issue on a password is also complicated by the fact that when these hacks have been done and the prosecutors who have worked on correcting them have gotten the information that was available, they figured out what the most prominent passwords are. So the hackers also have then the ability to go with algorithmic logic to try to figure out, okay, what's the most popular password? You want to guess what it is? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that is the most popular password. Everybody knows it now, and that's not what you want to do as a password. Neither do you want to use ASDFGHJKL semicolon, which gives you the character, because that's the middle line of the keyboard.
It seems just so obvious, but people would actually do that.
Oh, they do. Oh, they do. The top
1, 2, 3, 4.
The top 10 passwords are eminently crackable, and with this increased computer technology that is so much cheaper. Say you have an 8-character password that includes capital letters, that includes the stuff on the top row,
exclamation mark,
points, and what they call the special characters.
Mm-hmm.
With this new supercomputer capability, an 8-character password, even if it has that, can be cracked in about 40 minutes.
Wow.
40 minutes. If you add 10 characters, it takes 2.5 years. So that's one of the things that's really important, is that it's not the cleverness or using your pet's name. It's how many characters and how much variety there is in your character, in your passwords. Now, I have 17 on account, passwords that I have to remember, financial and bills that I pay online and things like that. So there's no way in the world that I can remember that many complicated passwords. So I'm going to make a recommendation. People who, you might want to get something to write this down, because you'll need to Google it and search it. But there is an initiative called the Free Open Source Software Coalition. You can buy this stuff, but I'm going to give you one that's free and fairly easy to use, and it's available for Windows or Apple or Linux or whatever your computer system is. It's called KeePass, KEEPASS, KeePass. And what it is a password vault that's very easy to use, and it allows you to use one master password that's the only one you have to remember, and then you use it to manipulate the online websites that you go to, and it automatically puts your password, your username, and your password in. Of course, you have to keep it safe. This is not the type of thing you want to leave under the keyboard or on a yellow post-it by the side of the screen.
How safe is that?
Well, I have never had anything cracked like that. I did have a questionable charge to one of my credit cards over the holiday season, so I'm in the throes right now of working with security and justifying the fact that they need to take that off, and I've gotten a new credit card. Maybe I shouldn't say that.
again,
too much information.
It's KEEPASS. Okay.
And you can Google it and search it, and it has its own website, the developer. But the important thing here I want to emphasize is this is part of the Free Open Source Software, FOSS, initiative. There are other similar pieces of software that you can buy. You can pay a price for it, and you'll get paid support. The downside to free open source software is there's generally a community forum. You don't call the developer's not available to give you any support. But it allows you to maintain as many as several hundred open source passwords, and you can get them as complicated as you want. It has a password generator that will give you complete gobbledygook that will really take a long time to crack. Every password is crackable. It just takes a long, long, long time, and that's your defense.
How do you feel about companies that keep your credit card information on file?
Well, they need to talk to their lawyers, because that's a stupid liability if you're in business. You don't need that. You do not need that.
It's a security problem, too, I would think.
Well, it is. It is. And, of course, it's a major embarrassment when that type of information becomes public, too. But there's no need. There's no need for that. And even the credit card swipes, what they call the devices that they swipe the credit card through, will track and keep the – the credit card information, and but that can be purged on a regular basis. It's once you have a customer and you treat them right and they come back, you don't really need that information. It's something you can get each time that they purchase something.
Good information from Tom Collier here on the Buckmaster Show. Tom, thanks very much. Have a great afternoon.
You too, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants. If you need a CPA, and who doesn't during the tax season, I strongly suggest Michael C. Flowers. He's located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Michael C. Flowers, good guy. He can handle all of your tax needs. Coming up tomorrow, Mark Stegeman. Dr. Mark Stegeman, head of the TUSD Governing Board. Should be a lively conversation on Friday Focus with, of course, so much about TUSD and the Governing Board in the news. And, of course, we'll have our Reporters Roundtable and Weekend Watch with Matt Russell coming up tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon.
Ten thirty KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 9:30 KAPR, Douglas. And 12:40 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.